Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Friday, everybody. We made it through another week. Thank you so much for joining me here on Furthermore with Amanda Head. Yes, this is our Friday edition. We've got two amazing guests teed up and also a lot of news to cover before we head into the weekend. But first up on the show, we have Senator Tommy Tuberville, who hails from the great state of Alabama, as do I. And we've got a number of items to talk to him about. You all remember he was one of the lone voices in the United States Senate who was holding up some of these Pentagon nominees as a result of the Pentagon provision allowing for paying for abortions for U.S. service members as well as their dependents. So he introduced the VA Abortion Transparency Act. He introduced that on Wednesday. So this is to kind of force reporting from the VA. They initially gave some numbers from September of 2022 to September of 2023. And basically ever since then, it's been silent. So we're going to talk to him about that. I've also got Gabriel Eltop. Some of you have probably seen him on our TV show. He's a legend in the comic book world. He was a colorist. He worked on practically every major comic you have ever heard of. He worked on. He finally reached the end of his rope when they started fudging around with the sexuality of Superman's son. And that's when he peaced out and went out on his own. He partnered with Dean Cain on a comic book that is out now. It's called Dean Cain, All-American Lawman. We're going to have a lot to talk to him about that, just culturally, but specifically within the comic book world. We're going to be back with those two interviews after these commercials. We'll see you on the other side.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Senator Tuberville introduced the VA Abortion Transparency Act to impose new abortion reporting requirements on the Department of Veterans Affairs to create more transparency for taxpayers. Now, you might remember it was just 2 years ago when the Biden administration's VA announced that they would facilitate abortions for veterans and their dependents. And despite congressional inquiry on policy and legality, they changed the regulation anyway, kind of on brand for them. But just last October, the VA reported that the agency facilitated 88 abortions. And in doing so, the VA has since refused to release updated data regarding additional abortions since its last report. So joining me now to discuss this, as well as the pending impeachment trial of Homeland Security Department Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, is Senator Tuberville. Coach, it's an honor to have you here. Welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Sir, I want to ask you about what you introduced yesterday, because you know, progressives, Democrats, the Biden administration, they seem so vocal and committed to support for and access to abortion. So I don't really understand the obfuscation.
Well, you have to give it to the Democrats, progressive left. They're all in for abortion at any time, any place, anywhere on the taxpayer dime. You know, in 1992, the Veterans Health Care Act was passed here in the Senate and the House by the Democrats, voted on by Joe Biden. And it became law that says that the VA can never provide abortions. And so they've just done an about face. Biden administration is breaking the law. So after they started breaking the law, I started asking questions about, hey, can we get a little transparency here? We need to get some facts and figures about what you're doing and why you're doing it and how much it's costing the taxpayers. Well, we can't get anything. So I'm putting out the Transparency Abortion VA Act to try to get a little bit of cooperation from this administration, but they could care less. They hate this country the way it is. They want to transition it to something else, and they're doing a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, unfortunately, they have made a lot of progress since Joe Biden was inaugurated. And you have been such a thorn in their side. It's been really wonderful to see your Republican colleagues in the Senate. Are you feeling a lot of support from them already?
Yeah, most. Of course, we got seven or eight that went after me on the abortion issue in the military when I was holding up the promotions for all the flag officers. But that's fine. Everybody kind of got exposed. I'm pro-life. And a lot of these people, not Republicans, but most of the Democrats, they're for abortion all the way, sometimes even past the birth of the baby. So it's another day in the life of the Barnum and Bailey Circus up here, Amanda. I mean, it just goes to show you up here, anything goes. The law doesn't matter here. Our Department of Justice is out of control. And they do anything they want, and they've got the ball in their court right now. We just got to take the ball away from them in November at the next election, or we're going to be in tough times.
I think that's exactly right, sir. I have a tough time, though, understanding, because I don't know if Democrats on Capitol Hill, whether it's the House or the Senate, are reflective of the population body, because you've got 5% of Americans who are pro-life all the way, absolutely, and 5% of Americans on the other end of the spectrum who are pro-choice all the way, anytime up until the moment of birth. But it seems to me that more Democrats are within that 5% of extremism on the left rather than being in the 90% in the middle.
Yeah, they're starting to show their colors a little bit more and more in terms of how that goes and what they really support. A lot of them don't want to, especially up here in the Senate and the House. It's all about getting reelected, Amanda, and that. A lot of people, even Republicans, stand on the fence. They don't get on either side to see which way the wind blows. And instead of having any kind of values that they stand behind, you know, I'm here to represent the people of Alabama, not just me. And so I go by how the people want me to vote up here from the state of Alabama. And but that goes few and far between up here. You have a lot that basically vote their convictions for themselves to get reelected. And if we don't get away from that, we're going to lose this country as we know it.
Absolutely. Sir, I think that you do. You're one of those senators who you actually listen to your constituents and you keep your thumb on the pulse of what Alabamians are thinking and feeling. And there was an Alabamian who was lost in an Army helicopter crash, Stephen Dwyer from Enterprise, Alabama, which for our audience is South Alabama. I know that you haven't gleaned any information yet from the Department of Defense, but it seems to me that this is a little endemic of the culture of the Biden administration, which is not really telling the American people or senators much of anything.
Well, I think the family, just not just a young man from Enterprise, Alabama, should have some closure here on what actually happened in this helicopter crash. It was a night training mission, supposedly. Now, they were in the Mediterranean, and, you know, they tell me that it's very, very dangerous to be refueling helicopters at night, especially with wind blowing and all those kind of things, and something happened. But we will get the true data on the report as soon as it's done. I asked the special ops commander last week about this very thing, and they're still looking into it. Obviously, they got their hands full right now with what's going on in the Middle East and Ukraine and all these areas, but people that lose a loved one need to have some closure on this.
I think that's right. And I know that they're appreciative of you for seeking that out. I want to shift gears to impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas. Obviously, those articles marched over to the upper chamber. You know, I feel like Alejandro Mayorkas was the low-hanging fruit as far as impeachment. What do you see as his fate?
Well, they all should be impeached. Every Democrat, the entire administration, what they've done to the American people and to our country this 248 years of opening that border and just continually saying, hey, it's closed. You know, there's nothing else we can do when they just all they had to do is go by the same laws and rules that President Trump had implemented when he was in office. We wouldn't be in this situation, but the American taxpayers are going to pay a huge financial price and probably we're going to lose some people in this country to some kind of unfortunate act by one of these people that's come across. You know, we've had 20 to 25,000 Chinese immigrants come across the border in just the last 5 or 6 months. That's devastating. And of course, you've got terrorists coming in, you've got fentanyl. You know, there's hundreds of thousands of people losing their lives because of this decision by the Biden administration. It's probably the most detrimental thing to our country that's happened in my lifetime is being a United States citizen. And it's happened because we have some people that just could absolutely care less about the people here. They want votes and they want power.
Yes, sir. You know, I know a lot of people don't necessarily consider Alabama a border state, but it's obviously on the Gulf of Mexico, just like Florida is. So I think that puts it right up there as a border state. And when I'm home in the suburb that I'm from outside of Birmingham, I have definitely noticed an explosion of illegal immigrants in that area. When you're in Alabama and you're out there speaking to your constituents, is that top of mind for them?
Oh, yeah. We're starting to see more and more. We've had one high school in the northern part of the state that a year and a half ago, I think, 2 years ago, they were probably 25% Hispanic. Now they're close to 90%. It's not just hurting the cities. It's hurting the rural areas and the hospitals and the doctor's offices and the education opportunities that our kids are supposed to have, and it's costing a fortune. And we're having young people go way behind in the things that we desperately need. Just to give you an example, last year the ACT and SAT scores were the lowest of all time from high school graduating seniors all over the country. This is not Alabama. So we got a huge problem. We don't know how to answer this problem. Money's not going to fix it. It's going to have to be a lot of people are going to have to do a lot of hard work. We're going to have to make some tough decisions. And I think President Trump's going to do that. He said he's going to send them home. And I truly believe that. I think that it's going to really save us some money. But just unfortunately, right now, for the next 6, 7, 8 months, we're going to have to put up with these people up here that could care less about the taxpayers. They care about their power here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to be in minimized damage mode for the next 7 months until there can be some reprieve. Sir, I wanted to ask you about the so-called debt forgiveness, which, let's face it, is debt transfer. And I love a tweet that you put out because I love seeing things in practical numbers. And you tweeted out that 87% of Americans are ultimately going to be paying for 13% of those folks who took out those loans. Joe Biden is leading Donald Trump with 65 and over, which is strange to me, but he's leading them by 5 points, but he's underwater by 12 points with Gen Z. Do you think that's why?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's out there buying votes right and left, and he's doing it for a purpose. You know, that I don't think that he thinks he can win by just going out and going by the issues, because every issue that they've touched has gone south. But, you know, these people that have that are getting their loans forgiven. As you said, 87% of us that either pay for our loans or didn't have a loan or didn't go to college are going to have to pay for that and make that up. That's not something that's just going to go away. But, you know, Amanda, in this country, we're morally, we're mentally, and we're physically bankrupt. And this just puts us on a line of just more bankruptcy. Puts us in a tough situation. You know, we want to help everybody. Everybody needs to help each other, but they've made it so volatile in this country by this DEI, all the things that they push on American people. They've divided us and they've dumbed us down. And it's going to be a huge cost to the Americans in the years and years to come.
Yeah. Bankrupt, frustrated, exhausted. The list goes on and on. Sir, we've just got less than a minute left. I want to end on a lighter note. You are a U.S. Senator, but you are, to a lot of people in the state of Alabama, Coach. Auburn had, I believe, a top eight recruiting class for 2024. Are you excited about this fall?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm always excited about sports because it's one of the few things that you can get away from all this madness, especially when you work up here in Washington, D.C.
You know, I love talking to Senator Tuberville, and obviously the legislation that he introduced is so important to talk about. And it kind of, you know, as I mentioned in the interview, it is thematic of the Biden administration and all of its agencies to conceal numbers, to obfuscate, to get funny with these numbers because they don't want to give them outright to the American people who foot the bill for this stuff. And that's why I brought up the point. I love that he put the numbers out there with respect to the student loan, quote unquote, forgiveness. Let's face it again. It is just transferring the debt. You're not forgiving it. You're transferring it to the American people. 87% of the country is going to be paying the bill for the 13% of the people who took out these loans. There are so many people in this country who decided not to take out a loan, who either worked their fannies off to get a scholarship, they went into the military to pay for their college, they didn't go to college because they couldn't afford it. So they took out a loan on a work truck or something related to a small business. Their small business is now doing well, no thanks to the government. Are they going to get their loans forgiven? I don't think so. It's absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, coming up after this, we've got Gabe Eltub to talk about his comics, and we're going to do that on the other side of these commercials.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody, to Furthermore with Amanda Head, as I advertised to all of you last week. Sometimes I like to throw in some cultural guests because we all know that politics is downstream of culture. They are intertangled and you just can't separate the two. And everything that we see in Washington, we also see in Hollywood and vice versa. And you might have seen Gabe Eltub on our TV show. He has for a very long time been a veteran of the comic industry. And it's not an industry that I am very well versed in. So I'm looking forward to digging into this with him, but just some of the cultural issues that even the comic book industry has not escaped. It's unbelievable. Gabe, welcome to my podcast.
Oh, Amanda, thank you for having me. This is going to be fun. Congratulations on your new show. I think it's
good. Thank you. And congratulations. I purchased your latest comic and it just came in the mail. What was that, like a month ago? I texted you a picture of it.
Right.
And I was so very excited to receive it. Dean Cain, All-American Lawman, which is funny because I think you know this. I told you this before. Dean and my husband were on a show together years ago when my husband first started out in Hollywood. So they
Didn't
are...
Dean play his father in that?
Or? Yeah, Dean was his dad on a show. So anyway, all right. I want to get into... First of all, I want you to start off telling everybody where they can find Big Man Comics and buy the comic.
Just go to bigmancomics.com and you can get Dean Cain, All-American Lawman there. I'm working on a lot of other books. And what we are doing is to entertain you. And then our second mission is positive, uplifting stories. And it's not, you know, cloying and Pollyanna and roll your eyes like that. It harkens back to Indiana Jones and things in the 80s when it was good, but all the way back to It's a Wonderful Life and stuff like that, where family and country and God and all that matters. We don't hit you over the head. We're very skilled at what we do. So it's crafted to first entertain and then second, you push out positive ideas and morals, heroicism, family, all the things that all the ingredients to keep the society going, this wonderful Western world that we have. It's those ideals in parables, so people will understand them and embrace them.
Yeah. And you said Western world, and it reminded me of your background. And I want to ask you both about your background in the industry, but also your background, where you're from, and what this country means to you, because I know it's special to you in particular.
Well, my background, I mean, I was born in America, but my father's from Libya. He escaped Gaddafi's socialist regime there. They killed my grandfather. They killed my dad's friends. You know, it's a country where if you disagree in public, you know, where it was under Gaddafi, it's a mess now, Libya.
Yeah.
But you know, there was no freedom of speech, freedom of thought, anything like that. No individuality like we have here in the West. And I never got to meet my dad's family because we couldn't travel there. It was dangerous for my father and perhaps for me, too, to be related to him and to go there because how he stood up to Gaddafi and all that. So that just shows you right there what that sort of authoritarian socialism, communism, what it does to people. It kills. I mean, the last century, how many people died from communism and socialism? Hundreds of millions are the estimates.
Yep.
And destroyed families and lives, and just the misery of living under that boot heel where you can't even think and you have to whisper, you know, like, oh, I don't like the president. You have to whisper that in places like that. So it's awful. So I want to reinforce the kind of culture that we have here in the West. And I think when societies become very successful, we see this historically for thousands and thousands of years, they fall apart because the new generation doesn't get what it took to build it. So they don't appreciate it and they don't keep the fire alive.
Yeah. You
know, and my entertainment, I want to A, entertain, and then B, celebrate our values and traditions to
Absolutely.
Keep it alive, to keep it going.
Yeah. And, you know, when people think about the West, I mean, you think about the leader of the West, but, you know, the leader of the world, and that is the United States. And I know that a part of the reason why you decided to go out on your own was because, you know, of culture changing in the comic world. But a perfect example of that is Superman's slogan going from truth, justice and the American way to truth, justice and I think a better tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they, you know, it seems like every industry within entertainment is trying to move away from American exceptionalism, whether it's music, whether it's comedy, whether it's comics, whether it's the film industry. So talk to us about your background, where you started, the comics you worked on, and what drove you to do what you're doing now.
Well, I've always liked to draw. I don't ever remember starting drawing. It's just always been a part of my life since I was very little. The earliest memories I have of drawing, I was like 3 years old in the back of my grandparents' Mexican restaurant drawing on butcher paper, like Star Wars adventures and stuff. This is like 1982 or 83 or something like that. Those are my earliest memories. So I've always loved to draw. Then I decided I wanted to be a comic book artist when I was 13. I saw Jim Lee. He's a VP at Warner Brothers. He's a great illustrator. And when I saw his work in 1992, I was like, okay, I'm going to be him. I'm going to be his friend. And he did hire me, actually, in the 2000s. He hired me to work at his studio in San Diego. And if you've heard of it, I've worked on it. You know, Ghostbusters, Batman, Superman, Star Wars. I've worked on everything in that business. And it was fine at first in the 2008 when I started working. But we all know culture changed like in Obama's second term. It really went into overdrive, into wokeness. And I think social media was a big part of that, too. It could spread these horrible ideas quickly. And it just became more and more woke, the work they wanted us to do. And I just finally had enough when they had a Superman comic where he was basically like, America sucks, you know, no more truth, justice, American way. And then the sexuality of his Superman has an underage son and his sexuality was going to be a focal point of the book. And I'm out of here. I'm not doing
ridiculous.
This, guys. Oh. And I'm not doing stuff like that. This is supposed to be about heroes and family values and stuff like that, as it always was for decades. So I told him, you want to do filth like that, do without me. And I went independent and I've been very successful ever since doing independent comics. So,
Gabe, help me understand. So the sexuality of Superman's son, is that something that matters to your average comic book reader?
It shouldn't. But what's the most disturbing part is it's his underage son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, well, why are we talking about his high school son? And I don't care if it's gay or straight or whatever, is like, this is not appropriate because they're underage. And it's adventure action books for boys.
Yeah,
like, we don't need this. You know, it's one thing for Archie and Betty and Veronica to get a milkshake and maybe he smooches her on the cheek or whatever. But that's enough. Like, this is for young people. We don't need to go into this HBO Max like weirdness of sexuality and all. I don't understand the push for that. I do think that, you know, it's this typical person that has been around for at least the last 200 years, the communist, socialist, Marxist, it's all the same. They try and say it's different. It's not. It's just a culture of resentment. They see people that have things, that have achieved things, beauty, wealth, family, happiness. They have things that they've achieved through blood, sweat, and tears. And the communists, the Marxists, the socialists, that their resentment is such as, Amanda, why do you have that? I should have that. Right. So I'm going to take it from you. And if I can't have it, you can't have it either. And that's why they want to destroy video games and movies and comics and everything. They want to destroy everything that has been built with hard work over the decades and centuries, the Western world, because they resent that they don't have the guts and the work ethic to build this stuff themselves.
Yeah, it's pure jealousy. Children.
Yeah, it is. It's a culture of resentment. That's all communism is.
Yeah. You know? It's disgusting. Okay, I want to move on to a sunnier topic because I bought your comic book because not really because I'm that into comics, although I love this one and it kind of makes me want to get into it. But because I think that male heroes are important for young boys. And someday when I have sons, I want my sons to read Dean Cain, All-American Lawman, because that is the type of character, that's the type of superhero that I want my sons to aspire to be. It's important to have those role models. Tell us about this comic. I don't want you to give too many spoilers about the plot line, but give us a little bit of a teaser.
Well, when I approached Dean, my buddy Dean Cain, about this last year, I was wrapping up another book, Truth, Justice, American Way. And I was talking to him, and we both have a love for 80s and 90s action movies when, you know, and just going back to the decades when men were men. And to me, you know, in physics, they have the universal field theory where they try and relate electromagnetism and gravity, and they try and put it all in one theory. I have a theory about all the degeneracy in culture. It's all fathers. That's the linchpin. Mm-hmm. Men not being men. That is entirely what's wrong with the world. Men are the leaders. And the leader is not some fat, spoiled, weighted hand and foot upon person who's telling the women and children what to do. The leader is in front of the platoon saying, follow me into danger. I will lead the way. That's what a leader is. Yeah. And that is lacking. I mean, how many men are good men and good fathers nowadays? 1 in 100, maybe? You know, there's so much divorce. And then the fathers that are in the homes are wimps too, most of them. You know, they don't want to make anyone mad or say anything anyone disagrees with. And they're very much validation seeking, very weak-willed, very disgusting men. I don't come from that. You know, I come from Mexican on my mom's side and Arab on my dad's side. So I got it with both barrels the much easier. And I see these guys and they don't make any sense to me. They don't disgust me. And it's a tragedy what I see women and children going through, that they're left in this world just kind of abandoned with no men to help lead the way, to provide and protect, which is our role. Yeah. You know, you want to look at the sectors of society that are doing the worst. You could see the Black and the Mexican ghettos with no fathers, and you see it. The crime, the death, all the failing in school. And it's because there's no dad there. The dad feels that special role. So the heroes, like Dean Cain, All-American Lawman, what we want these guys to be is... There's a thing about being a boy and turning into a man, that rite of passage. Men tell you as a boy and as a girl, we do this for children. It's a thing men do that mothers don't do. And it's not, there's something wrong with women. It's just not their role. We tell children, hey, you're better than that. I know it's scary. I know it hurts. But if you push, you can be more amazing than you ever thought. That's what my dad did to me, my grandpa, my football coaches. They were all men. I said, yes, it hurts. Yes, you don't like it. But you know what? This is the glory of being a man. This is what you turn into. And historically, all tribes and creeds and races had this. They would take the boys off into the jungle when they turned 10, 11, 12. They would take them into the field. They would make them go hunting with the men. And it's terrifying. Yeah. I remember my dad, he's Muslim. I'm Christian. But he would occasionally slaughter a sheep on his farm, you know, to cook, butcher it up and cook it. And when I was 12, he gave me the knife. And I slit the throat and did all the stuff. And it was awful. But I'm glad I did it. And I never forgot it, you know, and working hard with my grandfather and all this. So the characters I write and that Dean and I, we collaborate on, we want them to be men. We want the theme of Dean Cain, All-American Lawman. And you know it because it was written in there twice. He tells different people to be a man and serve God. You do the right thing, no matter how terrifying it is.
Yep.
And I think that's what's lacking in culture. I don't think women and children can go anywhere that men won't lead. And that's why society is falling apart. You know, one thing I take issue with, I'll let you go. I know I talk a lot, is all this red pill stuff. And women are this, and women are whores, and women are feminists, blah, 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 blah. And I tell the men, it's your fault, buddy. You don't want to lead them. You don't want to love them. You don't want to be the good, strong, stoic men we need to be. So now everything's out of control. And they want to point fingers at women and these kids and all this. Like, well, where are the dads? Where are the coaches? Where are the men? So that's why I want art like this, like Dean Cain and all that, to be brave, to be stoic and all that, so we can get people convinced, hey, you know what? These are good ideas. Maybe I should employ this in my life.
Yeah. And you know, you bring up the fault of that being on men. I would push back on that a little because women, I read an article years ago, and I can't remember the headline. I think it was something to the effect of "You don't deserve a king," and it was written from by a guy, and he was talking about his neighborhood bar and how there was this girl at his bar who was always there. She was always drunk at the bar every other time he was there. She was making out drunkenly in the corner with a different guy.
Oh boy.
And he was talking about this culture for females right now where, you know, they use hashtag queen.
Right.
And they say this for every woman out there, you know, hashtag queen. Every woman's a queen. Every woman is not a queen, and every woman does not deserve a king. I think that women have put themselves in a position where they don't necessarily deserve good men, and men are in the same boat too.
Right.
And going back to what you were saying about hunting, you know, if I was growing up nowadays with the types and hobbies that I had when I was growing up, because I grew up with two older brothers, an amazing father, and I grew up hunting. I think that I performed my very first field dressing when I was around 7 or 8, when I shot my first deer, had the blood on my face. I still own my first field dressing knife. And that was something that I loved doing with my dad. If I was doing that today, my school counselors and my teacher and principal and other people around me, adults in my life, would probably tell my parents that they should consider, you know, having a conversation with me about my gender preference. And
right.
It's disgusting, you know, and raising up children, it takes two people. This is biblical. This is something
Absolutely. That
goes back to the beginning of civilization. Gabe, why do you think it is? Because you brought up, you know, particularly the Black community and the Hispanic community. And obviously divorce happens everywhere. Children out of wedlock happens in every community. But why do you think Democrats are so quick to blame every other cultural phenomenon within those communities except the father being absent?
Oh, it's simple. A gentleman who I became friends with recently, Paul Chatto, hilarious guy. He produced TV in Canada, a little bit in Hollywood. He got out of Hollywood because he really didn't like it. He's in his 60s or so, so he has more perspective. I'm only 45. I had him on my YouTube show about a month ago, and he pointed out to me, capitalism did not take in America post-World War II, at least the financial version of the owner versus the worker, right? The factory owner versus worker. It didn't work here. Because factory workers got paid so well. We know that about that amazing American middle class through the 50s and 60s. So the communists, the Marxists who want to destroy everything beautiful out of resentment, like, we can't get these tire factory workers to hate their boss because they're being paid good. They have pensions, they have healthcare. What do? Let's switch to identity politics. Instead of the factory owner, the money versus the money, we can't get them to agree to that. They hate communism. We'll switch it to gay versus straight. Women versus men, Black versus white. We'll switch it to identity politics. So this is just a communist plot. And in the 60s, we know what they did with the welfare state and all that. The Black community had lower divorce rates than anyone else.
That's right.
They were all Baptists, all Protestants, all Catholics. They were all religious. They were super family oriented right there in the 50s. And they were about to emerge as one of the strongest demographics in America. And if you have people that are staying married, as the Black people were, and they're Christians, those are Republicans. The Democrats saw that coming from a mile away and said, you know what? My wife told me this when we were in college. She was taking like a sociology class, and I couldn't believe it when she told me, and it is true. They told the Black women, if you want money and welfare and housing, you cannot have a husband.
Leave your man.
When my wife told me that, I'm like, no, you misunderstood. That's evil. They wouldn't do that. Why would you tell them to get rid of their dad? And that is what they did. They destroyed the Black family intentionally.
Yeah, that was the real legacy of LBJ.
Right, right. Yeah. They married those women to the state instead of their husbands. And now you see what happens. It's disgusting. And it's one of the most racist, vile, evil things I've ever learned. I couldn't believe it when I learned about that. It's outrageous that they did that. My wife told me that social workers would drop by the projects where the Black mothers were living and the dad's running out the back door to like prove he doesn't live there, because then they'll get more money and more help. So that's why? It was intentional. In physics, there's an acronym, POSI, with the purpose of a system is what it does. So when people say, oh, this system is not working. Oh, yes, it is. The welfare system is designed to cripple people like that. and to have them that way. That's it's exactly designed to do it. And it's disgusting and racist.
Yeah, it's not a bug in the system. It is the intent of the system.
It's the feature.
Exactly. Okay, I want to, just for these last few minutes, focus on, I mean, your tenacity of crowdfunding, because that's ultimately how you got this done. Talk to us about the process.
It's an interesting one. You have to go out there and talk to strangers and do as much media as you can and ask for favors and be engaging and fun on television and radio and podcasts and all that. And you're asking people that you don't know, hey, I've got something nice here, fund it and I'll make it and send it to you. And they are trusting you. And it's a big deal. And I've delivered so far 100% record.
You have. Yep.
Quality and delivering it on time. And that's a real sore issue with a lot of people in crowdfunding, that a lot of this stuff is a slow boat to China, not mine. All my stuff comes out on time, ahead of schedule and a high quality. But that's a big thing. It's kind of, it wears on you a little bit when you're working on it, because you're looking at the calendar and you're looking at your drawing table and you're looking at the calendar back and forth. It's like, oh boy, better get this thing done. But I enjoy it and I am humbled and flattered by the support. As my company grows, I think I will move away from crowdfunding. Right now I have a book in the works right now and I'm able to afford to pay the guy to draw it. And I don't need to crowdfund up front. So I would like to move to that model. A good friend of mine, Eric July, he's done that for a few years now. He had the capital to just produce the books first and then put them on sale in sort of like a pre-order campaign where people order it. And then he starts shipping it out a month after the order start. That way he can get a good tally of how many he, you know, needs to print, I think, and stuff like that. Or maybe he prints them ahead of time. I'm unsure. But I'd like to move away from crowdfunding. I do appreciate it. But I know for the reader, it'd be more fun to receive the books sooner. So I'm working on that with that tenacity that I have. I'm working to make sure my capital and everything is correct so I can hire people and get things done. So, and the good thing is I can write and pencil and ink and color. I can make comics all by myself, illustrating them and writing them. So I can do that for free. I don't have to pay someone when I do my own, and then I can get them done and then maybe put them on sale. But I love doing it because I think stories, there's scientific research that shows, and we just know intuitively, stories are the most potent form of persuasion. They really are. Yep. And at all times when you consume media, music, poetry, movies, books, anything, TV, you are being persuaded subconsciously, whether you like it or not. So we might as well persuade people positive ideas. The family is good. Tradition is good. All of it, you know. And one thing that I want to kind of hone in on, but do it gracefully so it's entertaining and not preachy, is to tell people that these Western Christian values, they are the ingredients and the recipe for all the good abundance we have. And if we try to have conservatism without those values, it isn't going to work. It's going to be like trying to bake a cake without flour. We're not going to get the results we have are due to Christendom the last 2000 years. That's whether anyone likes it or not, that's what happened.
Yeah, look, it's no coincidence that when the modern television was introduced to American households, it was called television programming. That is how they make their way into the American psyche. And unless we seize on that programming, like you are doing, Gabe, we won't be able to win it back. And we won't be able to win back Hollywood. We won't be able to win back Washington. So we need folks like you, Gabe. I appreciate what you are doing. I applaud what you are doing. I love Dean Cain, All-American Lawman. And everybody, go to www.bigmancomics.com. You can join the campaign. You can also buy t-shirts and just support this alternate form of, you know, of content on the comic book side of things, because you are filling a void, Gabe, that is very, very important. So we appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Can I say one last thing?
Of course.
Amanda's exactly right there, guys. You do need to support this. A, you'll be entertained. You'll love it. It's money well spent. But we do have to fill this void, because a mistake conservatives have made for the last 60 years in the culture war is to walk away from the arts and just throw the baby out with the bathwater, that music, movies, and TV are evil and dirty. Well, they're only evil and dirty if we let them be. But we need the highest level artists, writers, actors, dancers, singers, making stuff that competes. You can't have corny, low quality stuff and try to compete with Hollywood. As liberal and as misguided as those people might be in Hollywood, they are amazing.
Yes, they are.
They're great writers, they're great actors, they're great singers. What they're making is evil, but they're really good at it. So it is entertaining. Yep. So we need people like me, Dean Cain, my new friend, Matthew Marsden. He was in Rambo 4. We're talking about doing all this stuff because we realize we need highly skilled guys like us to compete and make great entertainment that is positive, uplifting, and entertaining. So bigmancomics.com. There's a few of the first printing left. When they're gone for good. So,
all right. Well, I have one and I'm very happy, and I would encourage everybody to go out and get one at bigmancomics.com. Gabe Eltaub, you're doing very, very important work, and we appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, Amanda.
All righty. All right. Thanks so much for joining me here. Furthermore, with Amanda Head, we've got to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back on the other side.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody, to this Friday edition of Furthermore with Amanda Head. I just want to cover a few news stories before we head off into the weekend. One of them, of course, many of you, if you've been listening to this podcast or watching the TV show or just paying attention to news in general, which I know is kind of hard in between everybody's busy schedules, but House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer and House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan subpoenaed Joe Biden to the President of the United States to sit before Congress to answer questions. Now, this is kind of outside the realm of normality. You obviously, none of us have seen really a president come up to Capitol Hill to give testimony to congressional committees. And so it wasn't really a surprise that Joe Biden, via his special counsel, via his White House counsel, sent word that he was not going to be coming. But also, he said he wasn't going to be answering any questions. And you know, you've got Devin Archer, Hunter Biden's longtime associate and very close friend, Tony Bobulinski, again, Hunter Biden associate, Jason Galanis, Gary Shapley, Joseph Ziegler, all of these folks who have come up to Capitol Hill to offer transparent testimony to not only judiciary and oversight committees, but also House Ways and Means Committee. So you've got these folks who have come up to Capitol Hill and offered their testimony, and their testimonies pretty much line up with each other. And then you've got the Hunter Biden X factor, where his testimony doesn't line up with all of those. And then you've got Joe Biden, who won't even answer the questions. And look, you know, he can plead the fifth. He can say, I don't want to incriminate myself, which I completely understand, especially if you have been gleaning money from our foreign adversaries for the better part of a decade, if not longer. So I can certainly understand that. But there is now, as a result of him not showing up, another avenue for impeachment. So James Comer, Chairman Comer, sent yet another letter to the Biden White House responding to President Biden's rebuff to their invitation to testify. And the letter says a number of things, but it says the White House's continued hostility towards Congress's prerogative to investigate these matters constitutes obstruction and contempt of Congress, which are themselves impeachable offenses. So, you know, I don't know if this is going to be yet another avenue that we head down as far as impeachment. I'm going to be completely honest at this point. You know, I understand the value of these proceedings because it puts more information out to the American people. So obviously that matters with respect to this election because it's a chink in Joe Biden's armor, such as it is. Every step of the way, you know, it's death by a thousand cuts. And the more that people find out about this, hopefully the more people who voted for him last time around realize just how corrupt he is. And they might not switch over to Trump because most of them who voted for Biden, it was an anti-Trump vote anyway, but they just might not show up for Joe Biden. And that's actually kind of bearing out in the polling, which I'm going to talk about in just a few minutes. But I know that a lot of people have a certain feeling about California, and I do as well. There are a lot of other places in this country where I would rather live, but there are still some good places in California. And one of them is actually kind of close to Los Angeles. It's technically down in Orange County, which is south of LA County. and it's Huntington Beach. So this is an area. It's coastal, as the name implies, Huntington Beach. It is a beautiful area, pretty affluent, and actually pretty conservative. Not long ago, they passed a local law that at their city hall, you could only fly the state of California flag, the American flag, and I believe military flags. So no gay pride flags, no trans flags, no nothing. Just the American flag, the state of California flag, and armed services flags, which I think is fantastic and pretty indicative of the mentality of that area. Well, they have now passed an election integrity measure for their jurisdiction, and they are now being sued by the state of California. So our attorney general is Rob Bonta, of course, a Democrat, and our secretary of state is Shirley Weber, also a Democrat, of course. So they're suing Huntington Beach after the voters of Huntington Beach passed their own ballot measure. This was last month, that allows the city to require voter ID in local elections starting in 2026. So it requires voters to present a form of identification when they are voting for the first time. But of course, Bonta, our attorney general, fired back and said, "The right to freely cast your vote is the foundation of our democracy, and Huntington Beach's voter ID policy flies in the face of this principle. State election law already contains robust voter ID requirements with strong protections to prevent voter fraud while ensuring that every eligible voter can cast their ballot without hardship." Let me just pick this apart for a moment, because yes, Rob Bonta is right. Every time I have voted in California in person, I have had to show my ID. Now, that is a very, very skinny portion of the votes that come in the state of California, because now everybody gets mailed a ballot. So nobody's checking your ID. You just go and drop it in a mailbox. That's all you have to do. Or go drop it in a ballot box. Or, how nice, a ballot harvester comes to your door to collect your ballot for you. Do you think they're checking IDs? No. And even if they were, we have motor voter laws here in California. So for illegal immigrants, when they go to the DMV to get a driver's license, they're automatically registered to vote. So no, Rob Bonta, we do not have election integrity in the state of California. There are places like Huntington Beach that are trying to do something that they can do for their locality that, at least in the way of local elections, mayoral, sheriff, stuff like that, city council, comptroller, that kind of stuff, at least they can have their own elections shored up. But it really just doesn't seem like... I don't want to say it's never going to happen in the state of California. I would like to see it happen in my lifetime, in my lifetime in California, in the life of my time in California. But I just don't know. I don't know. All right. So as I teased a few moments ago, there is a new poll that has come out. It is from Emerson College. Now, former President Trump, in this poll, has increased his lead against President Joe Biden nationally. 3 in 4 voters say the cost of living is on the rise. And in a hypothetical two-way race, 46% of respondents back Donald Trump, 43% support Biden. So this was a poll that was published yesterday morning. Another 12% are undecided, which at this point, my gosh, I don't know how you're undecided. Anyway, but when they were forced to pick a candidate, 50% chose Trump and 50% chose Biden. So that puts us squarely right down the middle. With the undecided leaners added into the rest of the full sample, Trump leads 52-49. He is up 1 point compared to the same Emerson College poll that was published on April 4th. Now, here's the interesting thing. Trump's edge grows when the field expands to include third party candidates. And this is why I've been saying, especially since RFK Jr. chose Nicole Shanahan as his VP, radical leftist Democrat mega donor Nicole Shanahan, I knew that this was going to help Donald Trump. And it's why California Congressman Ro Khanna was low key pressuring Nicole Shanahan to drop herself off of that ticket. Anyway, so when the field expands to include third-party candidates in a five-way race, Trump leads with 44% to Biden's 40%. RFK Jr. is in third place with 8%, Cornel West, 1%, and Green Party's Jill Stein gets basically half a percentage point. 8% are undecided in a five-way race. So all of this, you know, every day we get more and more polling that shows President Trump ahead. Now, as I have said before, I am not trying to be Chicken Little and completely poo-poo these polls and say they're all wrong. But I also am not Pollyannish. I don't trust these polls. There are a lot of idiots out there, no offense, who can't decide and who think that Joe Biden is doing relatively all right. They're just not paying attention. I shouldn't call them idiots. They're just not paying attention, I suppose. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they've got too much going on in their lives, too much that they are struggling with. By the way, it's because of Joe Biden. To actually, you know, stay up on the news cycle. But I am hoping that this lead expands in the polls on one hand. On the other hand, I don't, because I don't want people to become complacent. Because as I have implored all of you time and time again, please talk to your neighbors, talk to your kids, friends, parents, talk to anyone you can about what's happening. We have to convince these people to show up. You've got literally tens of millions of Republican registered voters out there who don't show up. And I get it. I know people have kids. I know they have lives. I know they have responsibilities. I know people have burdens. I know it. But that's why we cannot discount what the RNC is doing with early voting, because that way we can collect these low propensity Republican voters who aren't able to show up on Election Day. It's the only way we win. It's the only way. So on that happy note, heading off into the weekend, I appreciate you all joining me. This is the end of week two of my podcast. I am having a stinking blast. I am loving this podcast platform. I am loving the guests that we are having, and the guests are just going to keep getting better and better and better. And we're going to have a lot of these folks who have already been on the podcast as repeat offenders, repeat shows, appearances on the show. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So remember, everybody, you can find my podcast on Apple, on Spotify, anywhere you find your podcasts. Find me on social media at Amanda Head, pretty much across all platforms. You can head over to our website for the podcast. It's still kind of under construction, but it is furthermorepodcast.com. On X, we have an X account exclusively for the podcast at Furthermore Pod. So find me anywhere. It's pretty easy. Send me a message. If you have someone who you think should be a guest on the show, let me know. Drop it into the comments or the DM. Again, thank you everybody so much for tuning in this week. I hope you all have a blessed weekend, and I'll see you next week.